Well, this morning we're continuing our teaching of fighting the good fight of faith, and we're using it from the scripture, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and verse 12, which says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Paul wrote that to Timothy. To fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. So salvation, our eternal life, is something we lay hold of. And you're going to have to fight a fight to do that. There's things that will keep you or cause you, will work against you, a resistance to keep you from laying hold of your eternal life. Even though you're born again, God wants us to lay hold. When we're laying hold of something, you know, you may have something that belongs to you, but can you really lay hold of it? You know, we need to know this eternal life, it's ours. We had it when we accepted Jesus Christ, but we want to bring it into reality, not just something that we just have. People, you know, talk about over the years, I've heard people say, "Oh boy, you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." Well, usually the person that says that has never laid a hold of that. They're saying, they think because you got born again that that was an automatic. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus because you got born again. You don't have one just because you have the opportunity of that because you got born again. You can have a personal relationship, but there's many people get born again and never really enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. As number one, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, that'll never happen. That's the only way you can come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is by the Holy Spirit in you. He's the one that guides you and leads you into that personal relationship. He's the one that reveals Christ to you. So you're going to have to yield to the Holy Ghost. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Leading by the Spirit allows you to lay a hold of your sonship. Amen. It allows you to lay a hold of it. You get to take a hold of it by being led by the Holy Spirit. And there's definitely opposition. So there is a fight that goes on to keep you. There's a fight that wants to keep you from taking a hold of that. Taking a hold of what God has given you. And it's like this. If you haven't noticed that, then there's a good chance you never got born again. That never happened to you. If you haven't noticed there's a fight, I have noticed there's a fight. I have noticed. And I'll tell you what, I have never in a day and time in these last days come up against so much demonic stuff trying to keep you from taking a hold of what's yours. Opposition. We're dealing with that in the land. You know, people are trying to do things. You know, we're trying to turn problems around with physical things. I mean, our government's doing that. They're trying to do physical things. If we can solve the problem, we just give people money, if things will work out. And just things, nothing's working out. They just keep doing all kinds of things with men's ideas. The church has done the same thing they're trying to do. We're trying to fix spiritual problems with physical things. You know, we're just going to take care of everything and it'll all be all right. Well, it doesn't work that way. And so there's all kind of opposition. And today the opposition is very great. It seems sometimes the more good that they try to do, the worse things get. And because we're dealing with spiritual opposition. And last week we talked about putting on the armor of God, which is so important, and dealt with the fact of this. Putting on the armor of God is really getting the Word of God into your heart, getting it on your mouth, and getting it in your mind. You have to do that. You got to get the Word of God into your spirit. You got to get it into your mouth. Getting it into your mouth is a good way to help to get it into your spirit, start saying it. But you got to get it into your mind. And we talked about the transformation that the Scriptures, a metamorphosis that takes place for the renewing of the mind. It's not a natural process. Your natural process to learn is to learn from the outside. That isn't how you learn as a Christian. You learn from inside out. The inner man gives revelation and light to the mind. The lamp of the Lord is the man's inner man. It's not your brain. Your brain is not where you get light. It's not where you get it. See, this is most of Christianity today is all mental. It's on the mental side. It's what's inside of you enlightens your mind. Being enlightened from the inside out. Let the light of God. See, you're born again. You have the nature of God in you. The Holy Spirit dwells you. He wants to enlighten. We're going to talk about that today, the opposition, because of a war that goes on. and the war that you're fighting and why you must put this armor on. You got to get the word in your spirit. Got to get it in your heart. Get it in you. So many people are just trying to do a mental thing. There's no such thing as mental faith. God's faith operates out of the heart. Jesus said, "One believes in his heart, says with his mouth, will come to pass." He didn't say what you say and think in your mind is going to work. He never said that. So this is not a mental process. We want our minds enlightened with the Word of God, but we must get it into our hearts and into our mouths if we're going to have victory. Now, one of the really keys to this warfare was a scripture that we used in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We want to go back there because then there's other things we're going to minister. But what it says here is so important that you need to understand this, of what is the warfare that we fight. I'm going to talk about this specifically this morning because we need to come in contact and understand the battle. Most Christians are fighting wrong battles. Most Christians don't even understand or know where, you know, lots of times people don't know whether they're operating out of their spirit or out of their mind. You can't be in that camp. You know, over the years I've had people come and say, "I don't know if I'm in faith or not." Well, I said, I can tell you straight out, you're not. If you don't know, you're not. I mean, it's just that simple. You're not. And you have to know. You have to know where you're operating. You know, you can't. Guy says, "You know what? I'm joined in with our military, and I'm fighting the war with them." And say, "Well, where are you at?" Well, he said, I don't know. I don't know if I'm in the right country or not. I don't know. Say, you know, I mean, wouldn't that sound stupid? Well, this is Christianity. Lots of people don't know. They don't. Who am I fighting? What am I fighting? Lots of times people are fighting people. They're fighting all kinds of stuff. You know, we're doing all these things, and so God directs us and what to do. And one of the things that I love about this is in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and starting verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So we're not fighting, it's not a physical war. Remember over in Ephesians, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting. You know, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're trying to get them saved. But he said, we're not fighting flesh and blood. That don't mean that people can't be in opposition to you on things and stuff. But the church has majority of its focus on those things. In our nation especially. Everything's focused on the natural side. And it's all trying to deal with these things. We're trying to deal with problems. And making the worst. Now listen what he says. Verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Or that word you could use fleshly there that they have the same thing. Carnal means... Actually, the word carnal is meat. You know, they used to call chili con carne. They used to call it that. Today, we just call it chili. They'll say chili with meat. They used to call it chili con carne. All that meant was chili with meat. That's what it was. So when you see carnal in the Bible, it's talking about meat. It's talking about your flesh, meat. That's what it is. Your meat. So, our warfare is not, it's not carnal. It's not against flesh. But it says what? Our warfare is mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. See, if you're fighting flesh, you're not fighting the mighty war, and you don't have the weapons. There's no weapons to do that. You don't have weapons to do those things. Our weapons are mighty through God. What? To pulling down those strongholds that we are dealing with the flesh. The biggest thing that you'll have in your fight is not the people who are fleshly, what they're doing. It's how you deal in your flesh with what they're doing. That's the fight. You need to understand. It's what your flesh is doing is where the battle is really at. It deals with your flesh. Satan comes along and tests you. And you know what he'll test you? He will test your flesh. That's what he'll do. He'll do things to make you uncomfortable in your flesh. He'll bring thoughts to your mind that make your flesh uncomfortable. He will do things to make you uncomfortable. That's where the battle's at. The battle's about you and your flesh, not the other person that you think is the problem. The problem is what you do when your flesh is tempted. When your flesh is tempted to go choke them. When your flesh is tempted, they did something. Or in other ways, we'll talk about that your flesh gets tempted and you want to do something. How are you responding to that? That's the war. The war is not what they're doing. It's how I do. You know, I learned this a long time ago. If I can keep myself where I don't let my flesh dominate me, I do a whole lot better in battles. So we do a lot more. He said, what are these things for? The weapons, these ones that take down these strongholds, he says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we're dealing with thoughts, ideas, things. We know what the Word said. There's things going to come against the Word. You will do one of two things. You will either let the flesh be exalted through the fleshly thoughts, or you will let God's words be exalted. We're supposed to stand against anything that gives us thoughts that would be considered a higher thought. What's a higher thought? Anything that you would consider doing other than the Word is a higher, you've placed it in a higher position. You placed it there. If your flesh gives you a thought and God's Word said, no, this is what you're supposed to do, you take that one, you made that thought higher than God's thought. What are you supposed to do? Any thought that comes that exalts itself above what the Word says, you're supposed to take that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? You take it into obedience of what God's Word says. Jesus is the Word. So we have to take those thoughts and bring them in and say, no. The Word says this. The Word says to do this. This is the battle, and it's going on all the time in your mind. This is a battle that you're continuing in. You cannot ever take the armor off. This is the constant fight. If you take the armor off, you're going to lose a lot of battles. Because always there are thoughts coming. Thoughts will come that operate against what truth you know. So we want to talk about this. Now, I want to go to 1 Timothy because we want to talk about this. We're going to talk about this war, dealing in the areas of thought. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, we want to look at something the Apostle Paul had said here to Timothy, a thing that will be very helpful to us. And we're going to talk about this in a couple different directions here today that will be very, very helpful for you in dealing with the areas of this battle that goes on, this thought fight. You see, a person who is depressed has this problem. They have submitted to bad thoughts. They've submitted to them. Well, you wouldn't be depressed. Why? Did you ever run into somebody that was depressed but had happy thoughts? No. See, there's certain ways of thinking, and those thinkings now dominate that individual. They dominate that person. If those thoughts can't be changed. Now, we have today, you know, we do the big thing today as well. You know, people take drugs. See, didn't you ever notice that that's why drug users and people and drink and do what they do? Because they want to feel better. And they like the feeling that things give them. Because it gives them a better feeling. You know, if somebody was really happy, they wouldn't, like with me, I don't want to do drugs because I'm already happy. I don't have to, you know, I don't have that problem. I used to have that problem. You know, people that don't understand why people take drugs probably should be on one themselves. They're so stupid. People are trying to feel better. You know, the same Christian that goes to the doctor and asks for a drug to help them, and then it says, I don't understand this guy over here. Well, I don't understand you either. Why do you want to feel better? You know, we have a lot of stupid today. I mean, it runs rampant. People just don't think about it. People want to feel better. It's a whole thing. You want to feel better. Well, we need to understand this. You know, a person keeping their mind in control really helps you a lot in feeling better. You need to understand that. You can't feel good. That's why now in this world we're dealing with such messed up people. Because people are going crazy out here. Yeah, because people are out of their minds. They have been trained not to take care of their minds. Even Christians don't take care of their minds. They've had all kinds of thoughts. Look back in 2000. Look how crazy. It got so crazy the Christians got their gun out and started civil war. How stupid. They're downright dumb ignoramuses. Ain't got a clue. letting thoughts dominate you that should not dominate you. And man, thank God they didn't carry it out. Thank God somebody, but the whole thing of it is taking those thoughts to begin with. And when they say, oh, that should have been stopped a long time before it did. Should have been stopped. And see, we need to understand this. See, I know what it is when I was unsaved. I lived with an uncontrolled mind. And believe me, it was out of control. And this is the thing that I love about Christianity is God taught me how to bring my mind into some kind of control where I just didn't do all the dumb things that I wanted to do. Hallelujah. Because, everybody fights thoughts. If you don't fight thoughts, if your mind is so pure and you never have a bad thought, well, I'll just tell you, you're a liar if you think that. You're just a downright liar and you ain't got a brain in your head and, I don't know what's wrong with you. We all get, and we deal with things all the time. There's nothing wrong with you that happens. There's things come to you in the natural. Even you don't try it. You can be walking in life just wanting to be as spiritual as you can, and somebody comes along and says something stupid to you that brings a dumb thought. It brings a thought that you don't want. That happens. Now, this is where people say you don't judge. Well, if you don't judge, you're the dumbest person in the world. And I want to shake your hand. Come, I want to meet the idiot that tells me you have to constantly judge the things that you hear and what's going on and what people are saying. It's not judging the person, but you better judge what people say. You better judge it or there's something wrong with you. You need to judge it because it needs to be put in a category as this is something I would like to go with or something that I want to, No, the Bible says this and that thought we're going to can that one. We're not going to take that one along with us. You want to learn to do that. When people come along and they had these, and this is Rhema people were doing this, just as dumb as a stick. You think, I tell you, the Methodists have more sense than these spirit-filled people. They had what they call round tables. Getting all these ministers together and you sit around and this is what he said. We're going around. Anybody can give any opinion that they want on anything and nobody's allowed to be judged on it. You're allowed to judge anybody on it. And everybody's opinion's right. Now I'm going to tell you what. Why didn't you say, hey, we're going to have a round table. We're going to have this discussion and we're going to let the devil run it. We're just going to invite Satan in personally and say, and nobody, you can't judge anything it said. Now they started having those. I mean, leadership and the stuff we're doing this thing. And I was invited to them and I knew right away that stuff you don't go to because I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't have kept my blab mouth shut. I'd have told the leader straight out. I mean, we had people that were, or out in other ministries, used to be instructors at Raymond's, getting involved in that kind of stuff. See, the devil snuck in everywhere. And see, they're being nice. We're being open to everyone. I'm sorry. I'm not open to everybody. Thank you. I'm not. If you have thoughts that are outside the Word, I'm not open. I have a closed sign on the door. Don't bring that one to me. But here we want to read this about Paul in 1 Timothy, the first chapter in verse 18. First of all, we start off and it says this in the 18th verse. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. Now, I want to see you first what Paul said here. Paul said this charge, that word charge that he used there, that word means mandate or command. Paul is commanding Timothy. He's giving Timothy a mandate to what? He said, I commit to you, he says, that according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. In other words, there were prophecies that were said to Timothy about his ministry, were spoken to him. And Paul told him and commanded him that he listens to those things, pays attention to those things. In other words, to fight a good warfare, you're going to have to pay attention to it. Now, I learned this back years ago from Kenneth Hagin. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this years ago, and I heard him over the years say it a few times. But he made this statement. In one of his visions, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, he said, I'm going to judge you as quickly as by what I told you is what it says in the book. See, what God's told you or revealed to you, God's going to hold you accountable to it, whether you take it serious or not. Now, I've learned this over the years. I've learned concerning prophecy, things that were given that I knew that were speaking to me and have fought warfare with those. I've learned to go into prayer with God in these days and times. I take prophecies that have been spoken by reputable ministers of the Word who have said different things that I know that God was speaking. And I take those things before God in prayer and stand before God on the basis. We're talking about the Word of God. Is the prophecy Word of God? We had all this, these so-called prophets. This is why this very dangerous thing was going on and people not calling it in. All these prophets running around and having visions and dreams and Trump's going to be the president and it didn't happen. I'm going to tell you, they don't realize how dangerous and wicked that stuff was and how evil it was. Because people then become conscious, self-conscious about listening to different things said, don't pay attention. The people don't learn to listen to when God's speaking or He's not. And we find here with Paul telling Timothy, in other words, the things that were said, they're important because his warfare and fighting and standing to what God's called him to do depends on him walking in line with those things. See, there's things that the Lord has spoken to me in these last days, has had others speak to me, which I knew it was God talking. And they verified things with me that the Lord had told me. And when they spoke, it was a verification of those things. I would bet any amount of money that whoever spoke those things to Timothy, whether it was Paul himself or others, spoke those things to Timothy. I would bet any amount of money that God had already spoken those things to Timothy personally and had somebody verify it through prophecy. That's how it's always been done. God has spoken to me about things and someone will come along and say it and verify it to me. Somebody who doesn't know anything about it verifies it to me that God said that. You see, we need that. God gives verification. That's the ministry of the prophet. The ministry of the prophet is to come around and tell you something you never knew. You see, this is one of the things. This is why with judging prophecy, when it was coming though with the election in 2020, with the election, I knew that these guys talking was not verifying because God wasn't speaking to me that Trump was going to be the president. So their words were by no means any kind of verification to me. They couldn't be. God hadn't spoken to me. They couldn't have been verifying anything to me. And see, that's why I kept going to God. God, am I missing it? Am I missing this and not? See, I want to hear. But I go to God, and I'm trying to hear, and I still ain't hearing. And these guys are saying, oh, yeah, he's going to be the president. Yeah. God said, I had a dream. I had a vision. Yeah, I eat pizza too, and I had a vision. I had dreams. Yeah, I had things. God said. No, and I did. And see, that's why, because I know this. If something has to do with me personally, God will talk to me about it. I've learned that over time. And isn't Ed Gibson? It's you. And see, people are trying to listen to something new. That's why every year everybody's listening to somebody come out and give a prophecy what the new year's going to be. Well, if you don't have any clue what it's going to be, how do you know? Does it verifying anything in you? What is it verifying in you? Can you walk in that thing? Do you know for sure that God said it? You know, sometimes we may have missed it and God was trying to tell us. But see, you can't buy it just because somebody says it. You have to know that God said it. I don't care if it's your favorite preacher. It don't make it God because he said it. You have to know that God is saying that. You have to know. This is why there's so much messed up today. People are following men instead of God. And you know, sometimes it isn't men's fault, it's the people's fault because the people are too lazy to follow God and they put pressure on the man. And they're putting pressure on the man to give them something they want. that they are too lazy to go to God themselves to get, to spend the time. I learned these things from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said sometimes God wants to move in meetings, but people want to go a certain way, and they keep pushing. He said, that's why you can't even go the way God wants to go. They keep pushing on what they want. You know, lots of times today, people want performances. That's what they want. They want performances. Don't tell me I'm a knucklehead when I am. You can go ahead and call me a knucklehead. My wife will call me that too. It don't matter. Hallelujah if I'm acting like a knucklehead. But I guess this, Paul said he would fight a good warfare if he would go along, would follow that prophecy. In other words, those things that were spoken to him. See, that falls right in line with the armor of God. Getting the word that's in you, the word in your mouth, and then get it in your mind. You'll fight this warfare. Stay in line with that. I want to talk to you about some things because dealing with this, over the years, I've had this happen numbers of times with me in the areas of prayer and different things, and sometimes in praying in tongues, or just sometimes a spirit of prophecy will come on me and I'll speak to myself this by the spirit of prophecy. This is one of the things you got to learn about prophesying, because I believe God will work that through anybody. And sometimes prophecy comes to me and it's speaking to me by the spirit of prophecy. Also, there's times I'm praying and I'm praying in other tongues, and all of a sudden I'll pray out interpretation and that interpretation speaking to me. I'm thinking, you know, I'm out here praying and I'm saying these things and it's out to somebody else or something that God has me praying in, and he shocks me every once in a while and I'll start interpreting and it's talking to me. So it's things he wants me to know. So those things that he's saying, they're important. This is God talking. And you need to learn within yourself. See, God wants to talk to us, reveal things. Those things he says into us, we need to know God doesn't talk just frivolously. It's so you can fight a good warfare. It's always for that purpose. It is always for that purpose. God is giving you information, revealing to you, so you can stay on course. That's what it's about. So you don't get carried off course. God's going to talk to you. Why? Because everything goes along in those areas. Now, I want to talk about some things because how important is this getting over in your mind and your mind dealing with things and that stuff and this warfare, how it goes on. Now, I've told many times like some of these instances, but I want you to understand them from the spiritual war standpoint. I want you to understand how they work. You know, I've told about, you know, before, and the Lord spoke to me today about talking about these things. But, when the Lord had spoken to me some years ago and said to me about going to Mexico, he said I was supposed to go down to Mexico on a mission trip. And I've told this before, and, you know, the day before I was supposed to leave to go, I was standing in the bathroom minding my own business. I just turned to walk out of the bathroom, and I turned. Somehow, I pulled this ligament in my foot. And, man, my foot almost instantly just went, swelled up, pain, very painful. And, that was totally an unexpected thing. Now, understand this, what happens. Now, when that took place, immediately, you're dealing with something with your mind. Immediately. Immediately. This is where most Christians miss it, and this is why most Christians have trouble in the areas of healing. Because when those things come, they go wander off into what their mind's thinking and all that stuff. They let that start to dominate, and they'll usually let that dominate for a good period of time before they'll bring that under control. And when that happened, that took place. See, the first thing that I did is I stopped, and I spoke to that foot. First thing I did is I spoke to it. And you know what happened? Nothing. But see, you know what? It isn't about just making something happen. It's about controlling that stupid thing between your ears that you think so wonderful. See, most people never take control. They'll wait for days on end before they decide. Then they'll ask for prayer. They'll ask, you know, somebody this, that. Usually, what they've done is too late. They have already spent too much time with the devil dominating their mind. It'll be very hard for them to take it back. See, you can get over where you make it hard for you to take it back. You can lose ground, and it takes a while to get that ground back. in a natural war, it's like that. You lose ground, it can be very hard. You let the enemy get some strongholds in that ground, and naturally you ain't going to go over there and just run and take it back. If you don't believe it, ask people who have been in wars. They know what it's like. Now, spiritually, it is identical. It's not different. It's no different. You let the devil take ground, you're just not going to up and just, boom, I'm just going to take that right back. This is why is dealing with this stuff, learning to deal with things right away that come against your mind. Now, I want to read you a scripture here that will be helpful to you in 1 Peter, the second chapter. You know, one of the things that I wish in the church world, the thing that I don't like, we interchange the word spirit and soul all the time, which is a really bad thing. And it is spiritually not a good thing at all, and ministers do it all the time. I get calls all the time, and whenever I get a call from an evangelist, they're always talking about winning souls. They don't win souls. You don't win souls. Souls don't get won. People get born again. Their spirit does. Your soul needs renewed. Your soul deals with your mind, will, and emotion. And what they have, when they do that, they mess people up because they get people, well, you know, my soul's saved. No, it's not. I'm still working on mine. I'm still working on. My spirit is born again and has the nature of God and desires to follow God, but I must still maintain and keep my soul. Now listen, Peter here says, I want you to get this, is in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 11 says, Beloved, look at it. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Didn't say war against your spirit. War's against your soul. It's your mind. That's the battleground, folks. This is why you want to keep your flesh and the thoughts of the flesh, you want to keep them in check because they war against your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. There's the battle. That warring against your soul. You want to keep those things, the flesh. He's talking here the desires of the flesh. You know, the desires of the flesh may not be some evil, evil thing. We think, well, a sexual desire, that's all good. You want to keep that down too? But I'll tell you, thinking the wrong thoughts about anything. Wars against your soul. And so when you have revelation from God in areas of your life, you want to do everything to make, you want that revelation to prevail. You want that to prevail in your thoughts. Anything that operates against that, you want to take that down. That's a stronghold. Hey, that's once, we ain't going with that. See, the stronghold in me is going to be the Word of God. That's when it's going to be my stronghold. And see, you have a warring against your soul. And so what I want to talk about here, I'm going to use the illustration. It wars on your soul. So when that thing happened to me and I pulled the tendon, we're coming back to that now, and I pulled that, immediately what was going on in my flesh started to war against my soul. The thoughts about this, oh no, what about this? The thoughts are coming. Well, you're supposed to be going on a mission trip tomorrow. You know, and all the thoughts coming to me. You can't go on a mission trip. You can't do that. You see, why? Because of this. You see, I have a choice. Now I have a choice. I can either let those thoughts dominate what's going to happen, or I can let the Word of God dominate. See, most people will go right to the thing of, well, I had this happen, the first thing they do, well, we're gonna cancel this trip here right away because I need to get over here and deal with this. Ah. The flesh won. The flesh just won. See, the first thing that I did was this. I looked to the inside. See, the first thing you need to learn to do is shut up. Now, you might think that sounds impolite, but I'm gonna tell you what, you better learn to do it. Don't let thoughts start out of your mouth and start talking things and saying things because that is your major problem. It isn't bad. You know what? If you don't start saying these dumb thoughts, they don't take a hold. But once you start talking them, now you're the guy that's the problem. Not the devil. Not the flesh. You have joined. Hey, this is warfare. This is warfare, folks. It's the battle. You want to win a battle? See, it's one thing they taught me in the military. See, you don't sit around and gripe and complain all day because all this stuff happening and all this stuff. You don't sit around. If you're a whiner, we don't want you. Why? Because it's a matter of discipline. You get into battle, you can't do it. You got to keep yourself focused. You got to keep yourself on what you do. There's trouble. You want to stay alive. You want to keep other people alive. Something happens. Your flesh is uncomfortable. Too bad. You're in the middle of a fight. It ain't no time to sit down. You don't have time to sit down and whine about your problem. So what you're going to do? So you learn to keep thoughts in captivity. It's the same manner over here. What happens? Well, the first thing that I did is I got quiet and I told the Lord, Lord, you told me to get down here to this. And I said, as far as I could think, you didn't say, I don't have anything in me that I'm not supposed to go. See, there's nothing inside of me. See, I'm going to fight a warfare by what God told me. There's a warfare started. I am going to go by what He said and what He did not say. I'm not going to make His decision and say, well, I'm not going to go because this thing happened. You see, here's the warfare. See, what I'm trying to tell you is how to bring a miracle about. I'm going to tell you, this is why miracles don't take place, because people, the first thing they do is make a wrong decision and they let the thoughts of the flesh exalt itself over what God told them. Paul's telling Timothy, Timothy must have been allowing certain things to dominate over him. And Paul said, hey, hold it. You need to get back on the Word of God. Get this thing in control again. Get yourself over. You're going to fight a good warfare with that stuff, not with your thoughts and ideas, because of what's going on. See, I have contrary going on. Now, contrary going on, my flesh is totally uncomfortable. My flesh is in pain. My flesh is saying, you need to quit right now. Go sit down. See, it's a war. Right now, I'm dealing with a war. Now, this war goes on because of this. God said, go to Mexico. My body says, you can't go to Mexico. It says, you know what God did to me? This is what God did. This is what God did. I didn't decide. I wasn't going to go to the doctor. I'm there looking at this thing and knowing full well something's happened in here. And if I go to the doctor, I know what they're going to tell me. You know, you're going to go sit down somewhere. You're going to have to. I knew what they were going to tell me. And you know what God said? Go into the hospital. Go into the ER. I thought, dear God. And you know what? I went there. See, Jesus was sent in the wilderness to be tempted. You're going to have to learn about war. God's going to send you into a place to fight. You ain't going to ever be a good soldier until you learn how to fight. If you want to stay out of fights, die and go to heaven. You'll stay out of them. Other than that, here you're not. It ain't happening here. God put me in that situation where I went and they looked at it and said, can't do nothing for it. You got to prop this thing up. I said, I'm going to go to Mexico. Oh, you can, but you have to keep your foot propped up all the time. Oh, boy, that was a big help. See, God didn't do anything to make it. He didn't go make it the war easier for me. Why did He do what He wanted to do? Because if I would fight a good warfare, I'd have a miracle. That's why. Most people don't ever see a miracle. They don't see miracles because they won't fight the warfare. Now, I'm just telling you, this is about warfare. Now, hold it. This whole thing is about the mind. It's what I am going to do with what my flesh is yelling at me. And my flesh is consistently yelling at me. So, they tell me to give me a boot to put on to wear so I can look down and have that reminder to the flesh. Then, so they give me some kind of pain things, but I mean, you couldn't walk on it. I mean, they dulled it some, but it hurt. You know, it's just, you know, you can't walk on the thing. I mean, it's painful. And I mean, I don't want something that makes me delirious. Most people do. You know, give me something. Give me a legal drug that I feel like I'm on heroin. That's what most people want. You know, I just make me out there. I got to feel good. And you know, so, and I had him. See, I'm fighting this warfare. You guys heard me tell us. See, this is the warfare is going on all the time. So, you know, Wanda's, you know, dealing with it. And Wanda, you know, and she said to me, she's asking me, what are you going to do? And I spoke right to her. I said, God told me to go down to Mexico. And I said, He has not spoken to me in all this time. I mean, hours and hours had passed. It's in the evening now. And I said, God has not told me not to go to Mexico. He hasn't said no. Now, I'm sure I am not that deadhead that I can't tell that he's talking to me not to go. He has not said it. So, I'm sitting there and I'm going to go. And then Wanda said, well, do you want me to pack for you? Now, here, this is warfare, folks. I've made these confessions. I believe I'm healed. I'm going to Mexico. Well, number one, if I believe I'm healed, I'm going to Mexico, I'm going to have to do something about getting things. I can't say, yeah, you do it, because, see, I can't do that stuff. And I'll tell you what, by tomorrow morning, I can't go to Mexico either. You see the warfare? See, this battle's going on in the mind the whole time. There is no battle in my spirit. My spirit knows exactly the direction it's supposed to go. It knows exactly. The inner man is not having a problem. This is where you need to understand. 90% of what you fight ain't got a thing to do with your spirit. This is one thing I don't like about a lot of the teaching on the areas of faith, because they teach it wrong. They keep teaching people, you know, people having problems, and they almost always go, well, you need to just to believe God. It isn't about the person's spirit most of the time. It's the battle of the mind is what they're dealing with. The inner man knows what to do and wants to do it. And then all they go, well, you just need to believe God. Just told you something that was absolutely worthless. They didn't tell you, you know what? You're dealing with your soul. You know what's wrong with you? You got thoughts that God's on the inside of you, and you got thoughts your flesh are saying, and they're warring against one another. There's nothing wrong with you. You ain't weird. That's the way it is. If it isn't happening, it's because they put you in a box. You're dead. That's the only way it stops. It don't stop any other way. You live in this world, there's a war. Out here today, every sinner's in a war. You're in this earth, you're in a war. And your mind is trying to dominate and rule. See, when Adam, before Adam sinned, he wasn't ruled by the outer man, he was ruled by the inner man. And when Adam sinned, Adam got dominated by the flesh. And now flesh became the ruler of mankind. Jesus Christ bought it back. The real me is no longer ruled. Now, I gotta bring my mind into subjection to the real me. Hallelujah. You're not fighting to try to believe the word of God. You know what things said. You know what God said. The fight's in your mind. It's where that battle rages. Where any inside say, I know this, but everything's going that on the outside is going the opposite way. Everything is saying it's wrong. This is what's wrong in the American church today. This is what's wrong with the conservatism. They can do nothing but watch what's going on in the outside. They have no confidence about what's on the inside. It's about what's on the inside. I'm living by the inner man. I'm not living by Newsmax and Fox News. I'm not living by them. I'm living by the Word of God on the inside. That's the only way to win the war. That's the only way to do it. I gotta bring my mind into line. That's why I need to protect my mind. I can't be listening to all that junk. I can't be listening to those things because they're thoughts at war against my soul. They're thoughts that want to take me to a battle that's not mine. It wants to take me to a place where I don't have the victory. It wants to take me to the place where those aren't those mighty weapons of my warfare. I know if I stay within the battle of what's on the inner man, I can win this fight. I can stand. I can have victory in this thing. Most people lose over the battle of the mind, and it's not about faith. They have faith. It's the mind. Their mind gets out of control, then their mouth gets out of control, and it all starts, and everything comes unraveled. And the inner man, and all his believing, is grieved. Because he knows what the Word of God said and he wants to go that way. Understand the battle you're in. Understand the fight you're in. You know, these preachers come along and preach and they say, well, you know, the man's heart's always to do evil. And I think, dear God, that was spoken in the Old Testament concerning unsaved men. If your heart's only to do evil, you're going to be in hell. You're not going to be in heaven. You're born again. You're children of God. You know the Word of God. What you know the Word of God in your heart, you can walk in faith in it. If you believe it's true and you don't doubt, what you gotta do is let that mind that's in you, the Bible talks about the mind that's in you. See, there's two minds. There's a mind of the flesh, which the Bible talks about, and there's the mind of the Spirit. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit, it's about your spirit. Your spirit has a way of thinking. Your spirit is thinking in line with God. Your spirit wants to fall in line with God. The Holy Spirit is in there to reinforce that. That's what He's there to do. But now you're dealing with the flesh, this unregenerated, ugly thing that we keep trying to beautify like and make it like it's just something so wonderful. And our culture spends all its time messing around with this stupid outside, trying to dress it up, make it up, do everything it can. And it's the ugliest thing in the world, causes us more trouble. The more we try to beautify it, the more we get away from God. I just gave up. My wife and I were talking about this. You know, she'd show a thing. I said, I don't even try to do none of this stuff anymore. I said, do you, women don't care any how what it look like anymore. And so I said, it don't matter. And I said, personally, I don't care. I said, those days of vanity are long gone. I done seen me in the mirror. Forget it. It don't matter. I don't care. Hallelujah. It's about me and God. It's what I can do with me and God. But I'm not trying to impress you anymore. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care. You know, we just decided her and I, we're just happy, having a good time, let it alone. Who cares? You know? She's pretty to me. But she's a good wife. Man, that's on the top of the list, man. No matter how pretty they are, she's a good wife. That's where it gets the vote. And you want to walk in that. Now, I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, but we're way out of control of these things of what's important and what's not. America's way out of proportion. Why? Because we're in a war, and we are trying to fight this war through natural means. We're trying to fight it through natural means. And we need to be very careful. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, wanting to eat certain things and this and that, but we've gotten overboard on those things. And they've affected us and our actions in life because that we're trying to deal with spiritual problems over here. The health problems of America ain't in food. The American health problems are demons. It's not in foods. And see, when you get lopsided over here and we're going to correct it all with natural things, get a life. You ain't. You ain't correcting it through the natural means. And we need to get ourselves into some decent thinking about stuff and get over here. Why? Because there's a war going on. And this war. See, and I had this war, and the Lord told me to use this because, see, this war is going on. And I said to Wanda, I said, I can't let you pack for me. And I said, I have to do it. I said, God told me to go. Now, if I believe I can go, I'm going to start acting like I can go. And I know this. As soon as I start to do this, I'm going to have a real problem because the pain starts and my flesh starts yelling again. Because I got to get up and walk on this thing. So I know that's good. So I have to maintain myself. I have to maintain this battle. Because this battle, the flesh says, don't go to Mexico. My inner man's, you got to go to Mexico. God told you to. That's what's going on. See, most people have already shut that off hours ago that God said. It doesn't even matter anymore. No, I got to deal with my flesh. Now the flesh has taken the upper hand. See, God hasn't spoken, yet we're moving in a direction. God hasn't spoken. Pay attention. You need to learn to pay attention to this. So, I got up and got myself packed. I packed my stuff and I got to admit, I was glad to sit down. Because my flesh is yelling at me a lot, you know. You know, your flesh is telling you, whoa! You're crazy. What is wrong with you? And then you have the devil comes in and he sings his song. You're crazy. You're going to hurt your foot and you probably won't be able to ever walk again. Oh yeah. You know what the doctor said? The doctor warring against your soul. Now understand this. That don't make the doctor bad. You don't go to them if you don't want to hear them say what they say they're saying. You have no business even showing up at their door. You're the one that went to them and asked them their opinion. And if you're going to criticize them about that, that's your problem. Don't complain about what they did. No, I can walk over here in faith in myself. I can make my own decisions. And you know, they did what they did. It's like when I went in, they said, keep your foot propped up. I know, I'm going in. I ain't going to be keeping my foot propped up. I mean, did you ever go in an airplane, fly in a jet and keep your foot propped up? That's going to work. No. So see, the battle is consistently going, and the battle is happening all the time. There's a warring against my soul all the time. My flesh, and what is happening in my flesh is speaking loudly to me. There's a war going on. Yet in the inner man, I know on the inside, without a doubt, I'm healed. I know it. But my flesh don't know that. My flesh is saying, I heard, quit doing that. Go sit down. Listen to the doctor. Put your foot up. Ah. And the devil's saying, your foot will probably fall off, you idiot. What are you doing? And so I just keep going, you know. And you know what? The war gets stronger. I get to the airport. I know this. I have it wrapped in an ace bandage, which they didn't say I was supposed to do that. I just did it anyhow so I could get it in a shoe. I thought, I ain't going to wear that boot. I ain't going to try to do this thing. Because to me, that was more of a pain than anything. And so I think I know when they have to take, they make me take my shoes off. They don't say, oh, you poor widow thing. This is okay. You don't have to take yours off. When you go through security, you're such a cute little guy. Now they say, take your shoes off. You know, we got to run them through this thing. And I take my shoe off and I'm thinking, oh my God. I mean, my flesh is just, you know what's going to happen over the other side here? You got to put that thing back on. Remember this morning before you left? How that felt? Oh yeah. Your flesh is so cute. I can't believe how we pamper this ugly, stupid thing that just treats us rotten all the time. It goes against us all the time. And we, oh, you poor little thing, you just need it. We're almost scared of it. And I got over the other side, and I think I'm sitting down, you know, and here you're fighting this thing. Because you know what? You're in your mind's like, I almost want to give up. You know, your mind does, and you're inside, you know, I'm thinking, no, I'm going to put this thing on. See, I got to keep this. There's this war going, this war. Now, it's the first I've heard from, the first God has spoken to me since this whole thing happened, other than go into the ER. I heard that clearly. Never spoke to me after that. Just said that, go to the ER. I went and did it. So, went through the whole thing. Well, I shouldn't say that. He did tell me one thing in between. When I was packing my bag, I did wear the boot thing. He goes, go get the boot thing and put it in your bag. I thought, what did I tell you? You'd not be standing in it. He said, put the boot thing in the bag. I thought, why are you going to take the boot thing along with me? Oh, this is what he said. See, this is all warring on your soul. It don't make sense. It didn't make any sense. I'm thinking, I'm going to wear this thing. When am I going to chance to wear this? But I stuck it in there, put it in, closed the bag up, and said, I got that boot in there. Because at first I'm thinking, what am I doing? I could have an unbelief. I thought, hold on, I didn't think that one up. That was God. I didn't think that one up. Put that in there. And I did that. But when I got the other side and I was going to put the shoe on, it just came to me. It just, my spirit, not no kind of big voice or anything on the inside of me, is take off that ace bandage. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there and my foot's going boom, boom. You ever get that pain where it thumps? Exciting. I mean, it's really fun. Really makes you happy. Really makes your mind clear. You know, you're fighting this battle. This war is going on, folks. It's a battle. And this thing's warring against my soul. And I'm trying to fight this thing, my inner man, and I'm down here. No, I'm gonna, this says this. And I thought, take it off. What does my mind think? See, it goes to the natural right away. This voice says, take it off. My natural mind says, you do that, it's going to swell up, just blow up right away. Because that's what will happen. If you have something like that, that kind of thing, and you do, and it's wrapped down, you take it off, you ain't getting that shoe on again. Those days are gone. Blood's going to flow to that area, and it's going to go, poof, you know. So, I ignored that one. Well, it came again, and then the third time it came to me is, take it off. See, I don't know about you, I'm slow sometimes. But see, my natural mind kept telling me, if you take that off, this is what's going to happen. And finally, I just, on the inside, I said, this is God talking to me. Now see, but it made no sense. It did not make sense to what's happening. Everything else in the natural has been running the opposite way. And when I turned around and took that thing off, instantaneously, my foot was healed. Instantaneous. Just like swelling went right down. No pain in my foot. Slid my shoe on. Walked down to get on the plane and stuff. Just absolutely fine. But you know what? I had a fight for about 18 hours. A real mental battle was going on. There was a warfare. There was a warfare going on for about 18 hours over this thing of what I was going to do. And then when I got down to Mexico, then the Lord told me, why the boot thing in the bag? He said, I had you bring that, he says, as a testimony of what I've done for you. But see, I'm fighting this battle the whole time. I'm fighting a war. I'm going to tell you what, it's just as much as a war as anything's going on. This is a battle. This is a mental fight. And really, that's where it ends up. See, my inner man never moved the whole time. But I'm going to tell you what, I found out that your flesh can outshout your spirit any given day of the week. Your flesh can get so darn loud. Your flesh. That's why you got to learn. You got to take thoughts into captivity. You got to learn to subdue it. And that's your battle. That was the battle that was going on. See, I'd been taught from the beginning with that. The first time when I asked the Lord, what does it mean? What does he mean, Kenneth Hagin mean when he talks about acting on the Word? What do I do in acting in the Word? And that's where I came up the thing is the morning I woke up. I was just a young Christian, only been born again a few months. Woke up feeling lousy and sick. And see, the battle began when the Lord asked me, when the thought went through my mind about calling off work, I was going to call off work and then believe I was healed. And Lord, and these words just came up to me so clear inside of my spirit, said, if you call off work, you're going to stay in bed sick all day. Well, that was exciting, wasn't it? Those are the words you wanted to hear. But God taught me from that day. He taught me about a spiritual warfare and dealing with it. Because everything on the outside was going the opposite. Because he said, he asked me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Well, I said, sure. And I quoted it to him. I quoted it. Well, he said, if you believe it, then why don't you act like it? See, it was the first that I really understood what this talking about, dealing with this warfare. Because, see, your mind's over here in this completely different space. Your body's yelling. The flesh is yelling. The flesh has problems. It don't make sense to the flesh, but yet on the inside, it made perfect sense to the inner man. But that outer man can get loud. And every time I moved to another area, I thought, well, get up out of bed. Well, when I got up out of bed, I felt worse than I did when I was laying there. You see, the battle got into a higher intensity, but you have to bring it. You have to determine, are you going to let your flesh carry the intensity of the war? Or are you going to encounter this thing with what you got on the inside? Are you going to do that? Which one are you going to do? And I keep thinking, I got to keep acting out of the inside. Every thought that came against me, I had to hold it. No, the inner man says this. The outer man is saying the exact opposite. The outer man's speaking another thing. It's speaking something else. You don't have to have your outer man in agreement to win a war. The devil has defeated most of you because of your thinking. You think your thinking in your mind's your heart, and you have laid down like you didn't have faith, and you did. You let faith die yourself. Faith was there, but because you had thoughts that didn't come in line with faith, I must not be believing. And you were believing. It's about your heart. That's why you got to know your heart, the difference between your heart and your head. You have to learn that. You can't fight this battle any other way. There's no other way to fight it. I don't know how to tell people. You know? People talk about spiritual warfare. They get into all kind of weirdness stuff. This is not some weirdness thing. It happens in the areas of prayer. You start praying in an area and you want to move something, it seems everything in hell comes against that and moving that. And then everything on the outside, while you're doing your praying and you're doing your intercession, the news media is pumping out everything it can to tell you the opposite, that it ain't working. Why? To move you off your praying. to move you off of your believing. Oh, you're praying God for, you know, you have an older kid and you want them to accept Christ and you're praying, and every time you pray about them and every time you go to God, they act more like hell. You ever been there? Yeah. It's war. What do you believe in? Do you believe in what's on the inside, or do you keep running your mouth on the outside about what you see? You're dealing with war. It's always war. It is. You go over here and you step out in your faith. You're moving and your heart wants you to move in that direction, and you step out to it. And all of a sudden, you get to see every ugly thing in the world that happens. Every bad thing they ever did comes to you. Yeah, and then you'll have people come and bring you a report. And they'll tell you something ugly that happened. It's a war. It's a constant battle. Right now, that has been the problem with American and Christians praying, because Christians are moved by the natural. They're listening to the news. They're listening to these things. They don't understand. In your hearts, you get in the... God will move for us, folks. God will move for the church. We cry out for justice. He will bring it. He said so. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care who voted for what or said what. I put my vote in with God. That's all that counts. Newsmax don't count. Fox News don't count. Republican Party don't count. None of them count. The only thing that counts is standing before God in faith. That's the only thing that counts. Another news story, it matters not. God is listening to my voice. I trust Him. I can trust Him with my nation. I can trust Him to move. I can't trust the rest of them. And I'm not gonna. Their success depends on what I do, not on what they do. They keep doing what they do, we all go to hell. Why do we listen to them? We're the ones that got to say, if we will hook up with our Father, if we'll fight the good warfare. I'm not moved by what they say. I don't care. Say what you want. Hallelujah. I've done talk with God. He's already told me what He wants to do and what He's going to do. Let them say whatever they want. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, I'm taking every thought into captivity. Somebody says something different, we're going to have revival in America. I don't care what anybody else says about it. They can say whatever they want and do whatever they want about it. They ain't heard from heaven. They're walking around hearing from the news media and what all is going on, and everything's bad and everybody's crazy. Everybody is crazy. They are nuts out here. That's why we pray for them. We need to pray for them if we aren't idiots. God, we're praying because it's insane. But I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't winning. The devil ain't taking over America. I'm here. He's not taking me over. He has no authority to take me over. The only way the devil could take me over is I yield to him. If I say, well, you know, devil, I'm just, whatever you want, I'll do it. Well, that ain't happening. So get it on the inside of you. Understand yourself about your faith. Understand about your inner man and what you're dealing with your soul. That's why when people say, well, so many souls got saved. I wish it was that easy. I could have gotten my soul saved the day I got born again and would just throw the switch. Man. I wouldn't have had to go through all these battles. But I go through battles. It's number one, it's a wonderful system that God set up. Because I'll tell you what, you need to take on and put that mind of God that's in you and get it into your mind. That's what the world needs. That's what we need going on. And we get God's mind on us where we're standing strong in the Lord. We're standing in His power and His might. I can't fight the battle on mine. I have to fight it with what He's given me to do it some other way. There's nothing wrong with you that thoughts come that aren't right. There's nothing wrong with you. You can't live in this world that thoughts don't come. There's always thoughts. There's an enemy. There's the devil. He has a voice. He can talk. He'll come and bring thoughts to your mind and then criticize you because you got the thought. It's amazing how many Christians have failed on just that principle alone. You know, I learned as a young Christian. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in their tongues. I'd sit around speaking tongues, and I would sit around and I'd pray in tongues and felt nothing. It just didn't seem like it was working or anything, but I'd just keep doing it because the Bible said it does. So I'd pray in tongues. And the devil would consistently, you know, you're just making noise. You're just doing this. You're just, you know, just all this, you know. You're weird. this was going on and going week after week. This was going on. This was happening. One day as I work at lunch, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke up to me on the inside, and he said this, if you weren't doing anything, he'd be encouraging you to do that. Boy, once I heard that, that was it. I just prayed in tongues all the more now. You see? See, people get over it. They're moved, and see, there's a war. You're always dealing with it. There's always a war going on. You're stepping out to step in line with what God has taught you to do, and you step out into it. And the first thing you know, you got thoughts coming against you. You find out something's not working out like you thought. Something's inhibiting your, you know, arriving to where you want to get to. Something's wrong. So, and this is the thing. What's wrong with me? Nothing wrong with you. You're in a war. You know, when the Allies wanted to enter Europe, they met a little opposition, didn't they? The Normandy operation, I mean, there was a lot of opposition. If they would have went and said, well, you know, I don't know this thing here. Well, you know, we must have missed it. Some guys died. Let's go home. But see, we don't realize when a nation leaves God, they become weakened on every front. Our military's thinking like that today. They're quitters. They're people who can't stand him. You know what? And I'm not knocking them. You take God. There's only one way to stand, and that's God. God is the strength of a nation. God's the strength. The devil is whittling this nation down, and people are watching it happen and not standing. They're trying to deal with things, you know, through the vote, carrying flags, doing all. There's nothing the matter with that. I like flags. I got a bunch of American flags out of my house. I like America. But I tell you what, I ain't winning no wars for America carrying flags. I'm in God's kingdom. And they're won. These wars are won because people stand. I tell you, we need God on the scene today. Hallelujah. If anything God needs Ed to do is keep the mind of the flesh under. Hallelujah. Allow the mind of the Spirit. You have faith in God. You know the Word of God. You know what it says. There's nothing wrong with your faith. There's nothing wrong with the inner man. You're born of God. There's nothing wrong with you. Now the devil will tell you this. The devil will tell you because you got bad thoughts. Some crazy thought came to you. See, boy, you wouldn't have thought like that if you were really saved. If you were really saved, you would never think that way. You'd never, oh. You know, you wanted to choke that guy. You would have never, that thought would have never came. Thoughts will come. It's not a sin to have a thought. It's a sin to carry it out. If it's a wrong thought, if it's a good thought, well, go ahead. Carry it out. Have it. But see, you have to learn that. See, I learned over time, over the years. I'd think, you know, thoughts come to me, and I know this. I'll say, that thought ain't me. That ain't the way I am. I'm not like that. I'm not going that way. See, take that thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. Why? I'm born again. This is the way I think about it. This is what the real man. This is what the real Ed does. Amen. This is what he thinks about it. Learn to do that. Don't let the devil entrap you over there. This is how the devil wins so many fights with people. He gets them into the area to get their flesh active and their thoughts wrong, and then criticizes them for it. And people say, well, you know, my faith ain't working. I ain't this. And the whole time your faith's working. My faith was at work when I spoke to my foot for the first time. That is why what happened took place, because of what I spoke then. See, I set my course right then. I set the direction that my mind was going to go on it. Then I had opportunity to reinforce it. One just asked me if I was going to Mexico. I had the opportunity to say, God did not speak to me and tell me not to go. I reinforced that again. All along the way, I'm doing something to set my mind in a direction. I'm in a battle. What does it say in Ephesians? When you've done all to stand, stand therefore. This is what I was doing. I was just standing. I refused to move off what I spoke at first. I would not give that ground up. I'm not giving that ground up. That ground belongs to me. The devil's saying, get away from there. Get off that ground. Limp around for the next 3 or 4 weeks. That's what he wants. He wants you to limp around for the next 3 or 4 weeks. That's what he wants going on. That's what he wants to do. You go ahead and just limp around. That's what his desire was. But see, it's a battle. Don't think it's strange you're in a battle. There's nothing wrong with you. You are not weird. You are not strange. You are not non-spiritual. You know, so many people around, you know, like Billy Graham would have walked around all of his life, had just wonderful thoughts and had a halo on his head. Get over it. He thought dumb things, but maybe even worse than you ever did. You don't know. See, don't get into that ballgame. Don't go play in that place. The devil will take you there. Is there some kind of people, spirituality out here? They don't think weird like I do. No, it's probably been worse. They probably had dumber thoughts. I've had stupid thoughts. I've had crazy thoughts. I've had thoughts of giving up. I've had thoughts of quitting. You never did? If you didn't, well, again, you're a liar again, and so it don't matter. You did. We've all had thoughts come. Those things happen. You're in the middle, and after a while, you just want to quit, don't you? You just want to quit. Hallelujah. Well, we ain't quitting, and I ain't going to let you anyhow. Hallelujah. We're on a path, and your path is a path of victory. You know the Word of God. You can believe the Word of God. Do not ever allow the devil to tell you you can't. You know in your heart you trust the Lord. You know what you believe. You keep standing in that direction. Your mind is working just like everybody else's is. We have to renew our minds. We continually do. We're in a fight for it all the time. Hallelujah. You're not weird. I have been more in a fight over the last 4 or 5 months than I have ever been at any time in my Christian walk on things standing. And it seems the more I stand, the worse that some things get, but I don't care. I've already declared. I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care who tells me what it looks like, and I don't care if everybody lines up and all of you are lined up together and say, you ain't going to make it. It don't matter. I don't care. I've already declared, hallelujah, with this warfare, don't matter how flaky my mind gets in the thing, my heart will win this thing because I will not join my mouth with my thoughts that don't line up with the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. And I will have what I say. Amen. Glory to God, and you will too. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. We're going over and not under. Hallelujah. We're above and not beneath. Hallelujah. We're blessed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You're not going to get... You are. You're the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your faith's a working. I always talk about your faith's a working. Your inner man, you're following God. You love the Lord. You're believing the Word. That's who you are. That's what you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You must keep those things in the forefront. When the battle goes, that's what you must always remember. See, that's what they taught us in the service. That's your training. Your training. See, you put on the breastplate of light righteousness. You get righteousness in the battle. You have a right. You have a winning right in this battle. You have a place to stand, to overcome, and you have to have that. You got to see yourselves a winner. You don't want to, in a natural, you don't want to go into battle seeing yourselves a loser. You don't want to head to that place. I'm going to tell you, don't be surprised you lose quick. But see, this is what God has made you. This is who you are. And you get that stuff on the inside of you, hallelujah, and believe what the Word says. Glory to God, and you'll have victory. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for your kindness and mercy in Christ Jesus. You're so good. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you won a great victory for us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you put us over before the fight ever started. Hallelujah. You gave us the victory. You called us. You said, Lord God, that we always triumph in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. That we're more than conquerors. It would have been wonderful if we would have just been a conqueror. But you said we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Satan is a defeated foe. And we have been given the victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you that every demon has to bow in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, as we're redeemed from the curse of the law, that we're blessed going, coming in, going out. Lord God, we're blessed in our bank accounts. We're blessed, Lord God, in everything in our lives, Lord God, no matter in our children or whatever else it might be. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you, Father God, on every hand, Lord, in our own physical bodies. I want to thank you, Father God. Lord God, that sickness and disease does not dominate and rule over us, that we rule over sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. I thank you poverty will never overtake us. We will not submit to it. Hallelujah. Jesus became poor so that we could be rich. Hallelujah. That we might have a full supply. I want to thank you. We got a full supply in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All these things were won for us. Father, we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're taking a hold of eternal life. We're not going to let it go. We refuse to let the devil steal it from us. Hallelujah. We're not going to yield to his thoughts and his ways. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you said you're the one that came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank you, Lord God. We know that the devil's the liar, the thief, the one that wants to kill, but he ain't killing us. Hallelujah. He's not taking us over. We're the people of life. Hallelujah. And we have it in abundance in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we'll always be blessed. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.